We're back with Guy Carr. Guy Carr's going to be running against other Republicans, trying to look forward to the nomination to try to run for the 8th Congressional District seat in the next election that's going to happen in 2010. I had a good time talking to Guy Carr on the break. I didn't know this when I asked him for the interview. I just went to the list of people that were planning on running, who had gotten all the signatures they need and things like that, and are listed on the government's website for the elections. He just told me he's got a book, and it's sold over 25,000 copies already, and it is We Like Sheep Have Gone Astray and God Wants Us Back. How's that? And he's a local, he's one of your neighbors, and you ought to check that out. We Like Sheep Have Gone Astray and God Wants Us Back. He's an author, and he's continuing to work that way. He's a businessman. He's an ex-Navy officer who served in the SEALs. And if you know anything about that, that's the kind of thing he was operating in. So, yes, he has had quite a bit of experience and real jobs, and kind of a guy who, you weren't just a mere hireling for somebody. You've had some chutzpah and done some courageous things, obviously. So I commend you for that. That's it. That's refreshing as we get to know you. Now, again, I think just before the break, we were talking about your political background. Just kind of refresh my memory. I think I got distracted during your answer. Have you gotten any sense of the crowd? Have you been in and met the local Republican caucus that you're going to have to operate in? Do you know those folks?
I'm actually going to get to know them. Actually, today I'm doing a speech for the Orlando branch, and then on November 6th I will be meeting with the people of Lake County.
Yeah, Lake County. And what's funny about that, it's not just Lake County. What's the name of that place? It's something, some guy's name. What's the name of that? It's at a hotel there, right? It's at 7 p.m. What is that place? Tell us where you're going to be on November 6th.
Well, that's a good question. I'd have to take a look here. That is going to be at the VIP, it's going to be at the Mission Inn Resort.
Mission Inn Resort.
The name of the town is Howie in the Hills.
Yeah, Howie in the Hills. That just cracks me up. Howie in the Hills is where it's going to be. It's going to be 7 p.m. on November 6th. And you can meet Guy Carr, K-E-R-R. You can also meet William Collins, who we've interviewed. And there's going to be some other folks that we're going to be interviewing here shortly. And you can get to know these folks there. And we're going to have an interview with somebody else who's running. So tomorrow at 4:20, I believe, we're going to have another guest tomorrow. What is your pet peeve? What is your pet peeve, Guy Carr, with regard to the issues that you think Congress needs to deal with immediately?
Well, I would say my biggest pet peeve is we have an economy in shambles, and it seems like nobody cares. They want to talk health care reform, which really, for our economy, is more of a hindrance than a help. And they want to attack news organizations like Fox rather than deal with the issues that are really important. I love the fact that they say things are getting better when we see unemployment rising. It is, I would say, definitely ignoring the real issues and fixing the problems the way they should be fixed. I personally believe in the fair tax, and I believe if we implemented the fair tax, everything would just kind of fall into place.
Can you explain what the fair tax is? I want to see if your notions of fair tax are matching anybody else's notions of fair tax. Explain that to our listeners.
Well, what the fair tax is it abolishes the IRS. It gets rid of all taxes, corporate tax, the death tax, any capital gains. It absolutely gets rid of all the taxes. However, sales tax would be increased to approximately 25-27%. Now, what's good about that is typically what people pay between the taxes and Social Security and so forth is about 30% on average. So instead of paying 30% of what you earn, you'd be paying about 25% of what you spend. What that would do is allow companies to operate tax-free, which is going to bring more companies back to America. It's going to bring countries from overseas into America, which, in itself, is going to create jobs for people. People have jobs. They spend more money. The more money they spend, the more taxes that's going to be created. Not only that, but the criminal elements will now be paying taxes. Illegal aliens will now be paying taxes because they themselves will also be spending money, so nobody gets away with not paying taxes anymore.
I have a question about fair tax, and fair tax for me is just like the health care plan. It is not a national government. We have a federal republic. So a constitutional federal republic. And my thing is, I tell people on the show that I talk about the issues on a constitutional basis, a biblical basis, the basis of right versus wrong. We're going to be taking a call here shortly. One of the things about the fair tax that I want to say, and before we get to this call, is just like the health care plan, it assumes that Congress has authority over everybody. The only thing I can see in the Constitution is there are excise taxes for participation in federal things, so sort of like Social Security is an excise tax. It's based on something that you opt into that you didn't necessarily have to do. In fact, if you go to Federalist Papers, James Madison addresses that and points out that there will be limited taxes because people will be able to not participate in the activity if they don't want to pay the tax. So my question about fair tax, if you go back to the Constitution, it talks about direct taxes on the states. I would think the states would be able to come up with their quota under a state sales tax, because as I see in the Constitution, Congress only has authority to write those laws that are direct taxes on the states per capita, and then the states would then have to institute a sales tax. So why do you think that this fair tax, what makes it constitutional? Then I'm going to go to our caller.
Well, I would say when you look at the Constitution, it would be as constitutional as the IRS. However,
that's a good statement.
Look at it, it's a lesser of two evils. And sure, absolutely, it would be great if we could actually go to a constitutionally based taxation system. I think at this point, however, there's so much money owed that somehow we have to be able to make that money back. But yes, I would love to see us go to a constitutional sound system.
Okay, but there is a hint of pragmatism rather than idealism. And so get to know, I mean, this is the kind of things that people are going to want to be talking about. Hey, caller, thank you for calling the Frank Talk 104.3 FM. What's your question or comment for Guy Carr?
Well, first of all, I'd like to talk to David off the air since I'm at the 5 today, since I've got this brand new fancy cell phone that actually works.
Oh boy!
I have a comment and a question. So if I could do that, the comment is the fair tax is blatantly unconstitutional and illegal. It's not allowed under Article 1, Section 8, so it would be ruled as such. Secondly, anyone that thinks the IRS is going away, come on, we know that's not going to happen. And thirdly, what is it that? And I'm not insulting. I don't want to insult you, but what is it that Republicans are basically no different than Democrats? Why aren't Republicans talking about eliminating government, like National Public Radio, National Television, Endowment for the Arts? Why do you guys want all this money? Why don't you eliminate 95% of wasteful federal spending and put these guys back in the box? And you won't have to worry about a so-called fair tax. You can live off of impost excises that the Constitution decrees. Why did the Republicans and Democrats want to continue to destroy this country under Bush? You know, Bush is supposedly a conservative Republican. Come on.
Okay, hey, we're going to go with that question.
I'm going to ask one question.
Yeah.
What makes the Republicans not liberal Marxists? Okay?
Okay, good. So what makes, that was his question, what makes Republicans not liberal Marxists? And obviously, I think that's a big question. It's a matter of degrees right now in conversations over what is, arguably, a socialist agenda.
I absolutely see where he's going with that. And for me, myself, personally, I consider myself a conservative before I consider myself a Republican. I do, however, I have always been registered as a Republican, and there was a time when the Republican Party actually was a party that you can look at and say, okay, this I can agree with. However, unless people are willing within the party to make the changes to help the party to become the conservative party that they once were and to stop listening to the Democrats dictate to them what they should be and that they should be more centrist and so forth, then the party will continue to be what it is. I thought about running as a not under any tickets, and however, here's the simple reality. If you don't run as a Democrat or Republican, your chances of winning are very, very slim. And since I have always been a Republican, and I do believe that if enough Republicans, enough people who are conservative and do have the beliefs that we can bring the party back to the conservative values that they once held, I believe that it's possible. I believe that there's enough people who are like me, who've never been in politics before, who are trying to get in there, and I think that there's enough people so upset right now with everything that's going on that it is possible to bring the party back to where it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
Now, if that doesn't happen, I believe that all the parties will eventually die, because I think people are starting to really just be completely irritated with everybody and all the parties and everything that goes on within the parties.
Okay, what about Medicare? Why is Medicare failing?
Medicare is failing mostly because of the fact that, number one, when they first set up Medicare, they set it up with the thought that most people aren't going to live beyond the age of 65. In other words, they did something that is typical of the government, and they underestimated the cost. And at this point, you just have too many people, and basically you're trying to feed a whole lot of mouths without the money to do so.
Okay. Well, hey, Guy Carr, thank you for coming here today. And what I'm going to do is we're going to see as this thing goes along, we're going to invite you back. I will probably, because I have a plan on asking you questions that are hard-hitting. Like, I appreciated my caller. He was kind of blunt. You know, what makes you different than the Marxist Democrat or whatever? You know, I mean, and I'd like to frame some questions like that in our next interview, but I will send them to you ahead of time. And that will give you an opportunity to really think about it and not necessarily having to shoot from the hip. And we'll try to do this early so that maybe it gives everybody who's going to come to our show for an interview an opportunity to practice up on some of these issues. So we look forward to that. If you got about a minute to basically say anything you like to our broadcast audience, I give you the mic.
Sure. I'd just like to encourage anybody that's out there that if you're thinking about running, don't think you need money. You really don't. Don't think that you have to be the typical attorney or the typical career politician. It's not necessary. The only qualifications for Congress is to be 25 years old, be a citizen for 7 years, and to reside in the state that you're running in. That's the only qualifications. It was never the intent of our founding fathers that anybody be a career politician. They wanted citizens to run this country. So I encourage anybody to go out there, run, and be the voice.
All right. Hey, thank you, Guy Carr. We're going to be keeping up with what you're doing. We'll be letting people know about your website as well as other people who are running alongside you, whether it doesn't matter what their party affiliation. So I appreciate you coming today for us.
Not a problem. Thank you so much for having me.
Okay. And he's got a book, guys. It's called All We Like Sheep Have Gone Astray and God Wants Us Back. So that's an interesting little tidbit there. We're going to come back. We're going to be talking about some things. We're going to be find out what's going on in Copenhagen and whether or not there's something that you need to be paying attention to, be mindful of, and maybe get involved in taking care of. So we'll be back after these messages. We'll be right back.